episode 393 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activity, ideas, and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of November 30th through December 6th. What's new this week? For the continuity of Montreal's oldest anarchist space, from diffusionlibertaire.org. A fundraising request to maintain and repair a building in Montreal that houses three anarchist projects and that's been around since 1982. Quote, every year, people from all over visit both the bookstore and the library. These spaces are abundantly used by anarchists. Activities, screenings, celebrations, and parties are regularly organized here. Unquote. Support anarchist infrastructure, right? That was for the continuity of Montreal's oldest anarchist space.
Freedom to Anarchist Prisoner KK. From Act for Freedom Now, an extremely brief announcement that someone was popped in Greece, accused of putting a bomb in a van outside a police station, and that there is a solidarity gathering for them on January 12th.
2025 Austin Anarchist Book Fair, February 1st, from the Instagram of Monkey Wrench Books. A funny and perhaps unintentionally scathing announcement. Quote, you can expect local organizations tabling, zine distros giving away literature for free or donations, rad book publishers galore, please restrain your expectations for galore, we are but humble anarchists, workshops and teach-ins. There will probably be too much to do and not enough time to do it, so make sure to not miss out, because when the clock strikes six on the first, all of the anarchists in town will have the spirit of anarchy yanked from their souls until the next book fair. Unquote. Ouch.
Announcing the return of Constellation, May 15th through the 21st, 2025. From Constellation Anarchist Fest. The second Constellation is announced. Constellation is an anarchist event that challenges the hegemony of the Montreal Anarchist Book Fair organizing group in all the best ways. In 2025, it will be a whole 7 days of stuff, reminding some of us of the 7 days of anarchy that used to happen around the Bay Area Anarchist Book Fair. Claim the week! Quote, in 2025, we'll expand Constellation to 7 days, from Thursday, May 15th to Wednesday, May 21st. We've reserved CEDA for Saturday and Sunday to host the book fair, workshops, and more. We're also bringing back the online submission calendar so you can organize your own events as part of the festival. Unquote.
For my comrade Kyriakos X from Act for Freedom Now. About a month ago, Kyriakos X died in a bomb explosion in an apartment in Greece. This is a friend remembering him fondly and fiercely. Quote, no goodbye is enough. No text can describe the pain of your loss. On October 31st, I was left in half, down a road where I wanted you by my side. On October 31st, I lost the smile that only you knew how to bring. On October 31st, I lost the optimism that only you could transmit to me. But on October 31st, I also made a promise to you, to me, to us, and to so many others, that you would not be forgotten. On October 31st, I stayed behind to talk about you, about the struggle you gave, and about those you did not have the chance to give. On October 31st, I raised my fist, and with my bloodied mouth, I swore to fight. Unquote.
Negativity and Positivity in Anarchism. From Freedom News UK by Tomas Ibanez. Always nice to have a little philosophy in our week, isn't it? The author here discusses what he terms anarchist negativity, i.e. anarchists as an instrument of destruction of the established order, and anarchist positivity, i.e. roughly the pleasure that comes from feeling part of an extraordinary tradition of struggle and a magnificent historical experience that ignores borders and crosses cultures. Ibanez has some nice turns of phrase. Quote, in contrast to the stubborn negativity of anarchism, in accordance with its most defining principles, it is, of course, its second face that explains why it arouses such fervor amongst those of us who are framed within its coordinates. Unquote. It's a fun read, and enjoyable to play with someone else's framework. Try it on for size, so to speak. Quote, Perhaps the richness of anarchism lies precisely in knowing how to maintain the constant tension between its two facets, assuming that it is precisely the contradiction that they draw that preserves it from falling into the placid immobility of things that are unproblematic or that are presented as such. Unquote. One might call that the anarchist tension, maybe? That was negativity and positivity in anarchism. Deserves some good comments. Someone get on that.
A. Iwasa reviews The Hands That Crafted the Bomb from Synchronized Chaos, which calls itself a, quote, interdisciplinary journal of art, music, culture, science, and literature, unquote. Iwasa gives a thumbs up to this memoir with some mild, almost critiques, and none of the references to other sources that would elevate a review. But this is entirely readable and short. Quote, The Hands That Crafted the Bomb is full of brutal truth that frequently borders on too much information. Though some accounts like this strike me as bragging or bravado, I'm strongly under the impression that Fernandez is just being painfully honest. From the lows of physically fighting his bio father to trying speed, to the highs of becoming a father himself or punching bigots in the face, all the cards are laid out, good and bad alike. Frankly, if Fernandez or his editors held anything back, I do not want to know what it is. Unquote.
Venice, 1984 to 2024, from Umanita Nova, a report back from an anniversary event in Italy. Nothing of particular import seems to have happened, though probably it was fun for some, but report backs are good. Quote, Venice 84 was certainly a watershed for all those who wondered and still wonder, what are the most fruitful and viable ways to fight against power and its many facets? To quote Tomas Ibanez, that event powerfully contributed to keeping anarchism in motion, and this is where its marvelous and indelible merit lies. Unquote. Ibanez is getting around this week.
Obituaries. Brayton Breitenbach, cosmopolitan anarchist from the Boland. From mainstream African news site Mail and Guardian. By friend of Breitenbach, Andreas Bezuidenhout. Breitenbach was a poet, visual artist, and activist in South Africa, occasionally exiled because of anti-miscegenation laws. This thumbnail of his life is well-written and occasionally quite dryly funny. Quote, when finally Brayton did visit the country in 1973, he made a speech saying that Afrikaners were, quote, a bastard people with a bastard language, unquote, and that this was a beautiful thing. Afrikaners had to be manure that would give life by decomposing. This caused great offense and consternation in the Afrikaner nationalist establishment, unquote. And his anarchy seems sympathetic also. Quote, in a catalog essay in the book Painting the Eye, he wrote, quote, the anarchy I'm proposing has to do with the unremitting questioning of all shapes and exercises of power, unquote. That was Brayton Breitenbach.
Ciao Italiano. No.
No.
Ciao no. Italino.
Yes. What
is Italino?
It's a name.
Ciao Italino from Umanita Nova. Italino Ross. Oh, it's a name.
That's what I said. It was a name.
I don't pay attention to things you say.
Apparently.
Italino. A name for what? Could have been a building. I don't know. Name.
Name.
Italino Rossi was an anarchist for many years, at least if you go by the list of organizations posted here, none of which I've heard of course. Quote, his availability, his being the historical memory of the Federation and the anarchist movement, without ostentatious presumption, calm and profound, silent but present, hiding his shyness was for everyone, especially for the youngest, a source of precious advice and political method. His commitment was clear and limpid, demonstrated in the punctuality and precision in doing things, from the small ones to the most serious and burdensome commitments. Unquote. When was the last time you heard limpid used in a sentence, I ask you? Limpid.
Hello, I am Vic.
I am Echo.
And we're going to do the topic of the week, titled Anarchy Fangirls. It was posted on anarchistnews.org on December 1st, 2024.
A fangirl is someone, typically but not exclusively female, who gets hyped out of their mind about a particular person, group, activity, or interest. We're talking full-on, unfiltered passion. Shouting from the rooftops about their favorite band, binge-watching a TV series until sunrise, or obsessively collecting everything tied to a niche hobby. So, have there ever been fangirls for Anarchy? Are there any now? And are you one? There was a moment, back when radical cheerleading hit the scene, where it felt like anarchists, often anarcho-feminists, were channeling that fangirl energy. Sure, it was a little tongue-in-cheek, but let's be real. There was something genuine underneath all the chants and pom-poms. It was hype. It was joy. It was collective enthusiasm spilling into the streets. But outside of that, I'm struggling to think of other examples that fit. Distros, maybe? Like, at their best, they're at least promoting other anarchists' ideas. But let's be honest. The vibe there isn't exactly screaming fanatical excitement. It's more aloof intellectual meets chill indifference. And that is not fun. Why does anarchist culture seem allergic to hype? Is it about not looking uncool? Or is there something baked into the whole anti-authoritarian thing that makes us hesitant to go all in on celebrating other people's work? Would it be a bad thing to have more anarchist fangirls, or fanboys, or whatever? Would it make our spaces livelier, more connected, less cynical? Are your friends the ones hyping up projects or playing it cool in the corner? And what do you learn from being enthusiastic versus detached? Maybe it's time we rethink what enthusiasm means in our communities. Because, let's face it, what's cooler than unapologetically standing freedom?
Well, do we want to start with this current event thing you mentioned that I just found out about?
Yeah, so this is a question that was written before this happened, but in terms of fangirling out, there's a whole lot of people doing exactly that right now in the wake of the assassination of a healthcare CEO in broad daylight in downtown New York City. And it's not, you know, specifically an anarchist event that only anarchists are really responding to. It's more of a general sense of hype. But it absolutely relates to a lot of anarchist history and how, you know, anarchists have responded to things like this in the past. And there's a whole lot of hype about that going around.
Do you think that it's a good thing that there's hype around it, or are you reading anarchists responding to it specifically, or is it just more general people?
I surround myself a lot with the anarchists, so I'm seeing mostly their responses to it, but even in the broader world, you know, there's a lot of people pretty excited about the prospect of somebody getting out there to, I suppose, address that kind of, like, resentment and anger that's been socially bubbling. And as far as anarchists go, you know, like, there's a lot of people who are taking the opportunity of all that kind of attention and that kind of folk hero status of the assassin that's already coming up. Mm-hmm. To start spreading literature and being like, all right, well, we're talking about this, you know, why don't we read this about, you know, assassination politics, or read this about, you know, propaganda by the deed.
Mm.
So I see that as kind of a cheerleading. It's kind of like a, almost like a recruitment drive, like, this guy might not be an anarchist, but like historically speaking, these are things that anarchists have done, and if you enjoy this, come enjoy that over here. A little bit more of the you know, mass movement, popular idea type of anarchists are kind of getting into that, but I think it's resonating.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, yeah, it makes sense for people to, I think there are a lot of people invested in kind of social commentary or commenting on whatever more normie occurrences, and then like giving the anarchist angle on what's happening or using it as a point of recruitment. It's just not really my focus, I guess, and I didn't even know about this until you just told me, so maybe that is a bit telling also where my priorities are in terms of paying attention to stuff in general, but it makes sense. I think I'm also just trying to be more positive, I guess, and I'll talk about this later, but personally, like, celebrating people a bit more, and I think I see the positive aspects of giving historical context to something like that, especially for anarchists, because obviously, like, anarchists have done a lot of similar deeds throughout the years, and, like, yeah, I think it's whatever, like, I don't know. It's easy for me just to be critical of people prioritizing media narratives, and I think that's where my mind usually goes to, and the recruitment thing, like, just to be, it's easier for me just to be critical right away, but I think there's a benefit in historical context and also, like, keeping the memory of certain deeds alive and, like, letting people know what an anarchist would think of an act like this or why an anarchist would do something like this. So that's my initial, I guess, reaction of me trying to be more posy today.
Yeah, and there's really no indication that, like, the assassin was at all tied to anarchists, or like no indication that they're even of the anti-authoritarian bend. It really could be anybody. Like, the industry that was targeted has certainly made enough enemies that it could be anybody of any persuasion,
right? Totally.
But like, to address the question more directly, it asks, why does anarchist culture seem allergic to hype? And I'm not sure that it actually is. I think that there's certain subsets that will definitely take themselves more seriously and will try to turn this into, like, a very academic discussion on, you know, like, the really nitty-gritty history and the kind of impact that it had then and what it meant, like, you know, what led to Red Scare, Green Scare, because of these types of actions and responses to this. And there's also definitely a contingent that is very willing to just stand by the people celebrating and going, hell yeah, dude, this is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the whole situation is a whole lot of hype.
Sure.
I don't think that there's, you know, anarchists seeing this and rushing out there to be like, me next, but they're definitely having a little fun with it.
Yeah. And that's probably fine, right? I don't know. I mean, if people are having fun, it's probably... Yeah, I agree with you that I'm not sure that anarchists are allergic to hype. I think there's a lot of hype going on just generally. And anytime any sort of... I mean, there's literally a website that's, like, one of the biggest, I guess, anarchist websites that's called It's Going Down, which I don't know. That's like slang for a hype thing, you know?
Yeah, that's essentially, like, the anarchist way of yelling world star when a fight breaks out.
Right. And so, I don't know. I mean, I would not. And that's a very, very popular site. And so I'm not sure that anarchists are allergic to hype. I think there's also a lot of kind of geopolitical commentary done by anarchists that look at things happening in different parts of the world and kind of declaring that it's like a sign of a global insurrection. And I feel like that's also constantly happening. So I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, I'm not sure anarchists are allergic to hype. I think I just disagree with the framing of the question or the question itself or something. I mean, obviously it's a loaded-ass question.
I think that's actually, you hit on a vein there with, I kind of have a bone to pick with it's going down because of this. But that hype of being excited about a project can pretty easily turn into either catastrophizing or, you know, overhyping something to the extent of kind of manufacturing a panic about it. And I think that there's a couple, anarchist, at least in name or in practice to some varying degrees, outlets out there who will really, really milk scandal and, yeah, kind of like try to manufacture hype around something where it doesn't otherwise exist.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this, this is very on my mind right now because I just had this conversation with some people and it was, we were talking about magic and how to do magic, and some people were saying that, like, there's this kind of approach where you walk the line between being confident in your ability to create magic and also being delusional, and that the two things are like, that it's easy to slip from one to the other, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
To me, there's something there to kind of recognizing a moment and declaring it to be a part of a larger thing that's going on, or like indicative of something magical or whatever, right? And the other side of that is just being fucking delusional and thinking that, you know, whatever, every cop that gets killed is like the sign of global revolution.
There's kind of a sensational aspect to the other end of it where, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Right. And I mean, the part of me that's kind of skeptical and always a little paranoid, I guess, even of people that are doing politics, and that includes some anarchists, I don't know, whatever, is that there's a thing that politicians can do in which they kind of try to paint this picture that there's like things are already going their way and so you should join their movement. So it's like personally beneficial, or it's going to resolve your personal sense of alienation or hopelessness to like join a thing because it's like on the up and up, you know? And I worry that that's also happening. But I'm also just, I feel very sensitive to like politicking as it just shows up in the world and also definitely in the anarchy worlds. So I think that's also an element in all of this.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Especially with other recent news coming out of anarchist publications saying things like we showed our might and, you know, stopped the Trump campaign or the Trump presidency from being as bad as it could be. And we being, you know, referring to anarchists and using that as kind of like a call to another J20. It's like a hype campaign. Like they're trying to rally enthusiasm around a repeat of the J20 events from 2016 by really overselling the impact that they had in 2016. And yeah, I'm looking at that and thinking, have you guys forgotten how many people were arrested? How many people's lives came to a complete halt? And why are we doing this again?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I feel confident that, like, the way things went the last time Trump was in office, that that was, like, necessarily negative or positive. I feel undecided, I guess. Like, I'm not sure where things would have gone if there wasn't such, like, I don't know, such a recruitment drive and, like, such a spectacular, like, campaign by anarchists. But I also, I mean, it does feel a little maybe ridiculous to claim that, like, we stopped the, like, coming of fascism or something. But I also...
I mean, especially when he got elected for a second term. Like, we didn't...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to go too far into this, and I just feel like I'm not really sure. And again, I'm trying to be more, I just, for whatever reason, I'm trying to be more positive today. So I'm like, well, if people want to do that, they, I guess, can do it. I, you know, obviously I was around for that. I was living in this country when it was happening. I live in an area that was like, this stuff was pretty active, and I don't know. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, like, negative outcomes with people getting arrested and hurt, and also, like, a lot of liberals basically starting to call themselves anarchists, and then people thinking that, like, whatever, because they wear certain clothes, they, you know, it's just, it got all weird and messy and, like, blurry. And that also, like, created difficulty for me and confusion in my life. But also, I don't know. I mean, shit.
Maybe go on.
Maybe it would have been even worse if that didn't happen. I'm not, and obviously, like, yeah, I mean, we're not living in a world where fascism, you know, there was no end of fascism. And yeah, he got reelected, but even if he hadn't, like, the U.S. is carrying out a fucking genocide, like, which we're paying for. That's, I don't know how, you know, I don't think we got to a better place, I guess is all I'm saying, necessarily. And making that argument feels a little unaware or something.
Yeah, all right. So there's a question that I have that I don't think the prompt question was... really trying to get into, but they cite radical cheerleading when that was happening. I think that was, like, you know, mid to late 2000s, maybe early 20-teens, when that was maybe that was a resurgence of it, maybe it's older than that. But that kind of thing was very much, you know, on the streets alongside people. And it seemed like that was a pretty good time and place for what they were doing to create more enthusiasm while you're actually out there.
That was like a, it was a thing that was happening at protests specifically.
Yeah. And you know, they actually came out and, like, you know, had pom poms and did, you know, chanty rhymes and, kind of cheered on the home team as it came to, like, black bloc and, street sport, you know, of fighting cops or, you know, doing whatever they were doing at the time.
Yeah.
But that seems like a context that it's like the question's trying to get at, but you brought up the context more of a, like, more general positivity. Do you think that there's a time and place for that kind of enthusiasm? Like, I would feel like the hype and cheerleading around the electoralism and the summit hopping is misplaced.
Specifically, like, as cheerleading in response to electoral politics, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that there's more positivity that comes out of something like egging on a J20 style demonstration or protest?
I'm not really sure, I guess. I mean, I'm just trying to imagine, like, being in a black bloc and having people with pom-poms. For whatever reason, like, I didn't notice it was happening, or maybe it wasn't happening around me or something, but I think that would be funny and fun, if that was still a thing. And, like, sure, we can break down how, like, it's also a little weird, maybe, or is, I mean, makes me think that it's like, it's a little too close to sports, and I generally am pretty turned off by, like, feeling like I'm on a team, you know, like a sports team, and with, like, that thinking, I think, is just not, I mean, I don't like it, I don't, whatever, because I think it's usually pretty shallow.
Mm-hmm. There kind of is that, like, broader mentality of when it comes to street actions and stuff of, like, not, I mean, there's definitely an us versus them, but, like, a, like, root for the good guys, support our troops, not theirs. You know, you got famous footage of riots happening in the late 2000s where somebody actually brought, like, a hockey stick to hit tear gas canisters back at the police lines. Like, there kind of is that rah-rah, let's make this a game. And part of that is, like, I'm really for it. Go out there and experience joy while, you know, in the face of danger. That's pretty cool. Like, it is cool to look at the very least.
Yeah.
But another part of me is saying, hey, man, there's a riot going on. Maybe we don't romanticize the violence and make light of it in a way that's gonna inspire other people to take it lightly.
Hmm. Oh, interesting. Yeah, I had not thought of that part of it. I guess for me, well, I mean, it depends, whatever. It depends what kind of violence, but generally, I don't have, an issue with being kind of poetic about the violence that happens at riots or, like, property destruction, and experiencing it or framing it as, like, a joyous thing. But yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, kind of turning it into this, yeah, that's weird. I don't know if I can respond just because I haven't thought of it. That's interesting.
Yeah, I guess I come at it from more of a, you know, are we destroying a spectacle? Are we replicating a spectacle and just making it our own spectacle? And I think that this kind of talk that I'm doing right now is mostly what this question was addressing of, like, aloof intellectual, chill indifference, not being fun. Like, are we replicating the spectacle by doing this? Nobody cares. That's exactly the problem that's being pointed out.
By doing this conversation, or what are you referring to?
Well, by using, like, the terminology that I'm using and, you know, really questioning the joy of it, if it's misplaced or not.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, for something like a riot, you kind of, and again, I mean, I've just been thinking about magic stuff a lot, so maybe my head keeps going there. But you kind of mess up the magic of something like a riot by overanalyzing it, you know? And ultimately, I think if someone is having fun going to a riot and being a literal cheerleader, that's how they want to engage with that situation or experience, like, they should totally do that, you know? And Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that would be hilarious. Like, if that was happening around me, I would probably think it's pretty cool just because, you know, it would kind of lighten the mood too. But, I mean, I hear what you're saying about making light of a thing that's pretty heavy potentially sometimes. Maybe, I mean, personally, I don't have a problem with it, I guess, is what I have to say. But the social implications, I don't know. I mean, that stuff to me feels just like out of control and an unknowable type thing, maybe. I don't know. Or I'm just not interested in, like, I'm not personally interested in, like, sociological type predictions or something.
No, I don't think that should really be our responsibility anyway. Like, right. Yeah.
But people do that. A lot of anarchists do concern themselves with that and spend most of their effort, it seems, trying to make these kind of predictions or like assertions or analyses on things.
There was a similar thing to that radical cheerleader movement initiative tendency. I'm not sure what to call radical cheerleading. But during a NATO summit that turned into riots in Chicago, I think that was 2012. But there was something called the clown block, where kind of as a way to disarm, not like physically disarm police, but kind of like take the pep out of their step, there were people who dressed up like clowns and came on unicycles and stilts and got between the crowd and the police line, you know, with little honking horns and squeaky noses type of thing. And the idea behind it was, if they're, you know, having that much fun and being that ridiculous, it's going to look really, really bad if the police come and try to swing on them and beat them up. And I thought that was a really great idea until the police started pushing and beating them up. And honestly, like, I'm sorry for laughing, but there's nothing funnier than watching a bunch of people dressed as clowns get beat up. Especially if they're like 7 feet tall on stilts and just falling over like trees. It was a ridiculous thing to watch. And yeah, it's absolutely surreal. Like, that kind of whiplash of emotion that was going on with like imminent threat of police and a bunch of people honking little bike horns and juggling.
Yeah, I'm like allergic to that type of vibe. There's too much of that kind of thing going on around me in the activist scene. And I try really hard not to pay attention, but it still whatever seeps into my field of vision. And there's a lot of people that kind of try to create these, I mean, yeah, spectacles where they're like, they're envisioning what it looks like for them to be brutalized by the police or for the police to respond like violently to them, and that it would look so bad that the public would suddenly be made aware of the brutality of the police or like the how unjust they can be. And
that kind of, if the people only knew, they'd do something kind of mentality.
Right. And I just think people like people should defend themselves. If you feel antagonistic to the police or the state or whatever thing, like, it seems a little silly to dress up like a clown and let them beat you up so that others can hopefully like see you be victimized by these people and come to your side. I don't know. It just is really not how I think about these things. I think if you have an enemy or you see an enemy in someone, like, that's not how maybe I would propose relating to that kind of interaction with an enemy force, you know? And again, like, the thing of prioritizing what something looks like in the media spectacle and like the impacts of the narrative that comes out into the media is, to me, just feels like non-living. It's, you're not actually experiencing the thing that you're doing. Your mind is always somewhere else, and it's always through the lens of the camera or the phone or whatever that's filming you. And the like coming days and weeks and months of the normie watching their Instagram feed or whatever, and that's going to be like swayed to your side. I would much rather personally, like, I'm not, yeah, again, like, I'm not trying to tell anyone what to do, but for me, I want to live the thing. And if I'm going to take real risks, and engage with dangerous enemies, I want to be present for it, and I want to make decisions based on like what I'm actually experiencing. And that's both, I mean, it's also just, I don't know, I want to live my life and be aware of what's happening in the moment, and also directly to me, rather than thinking of myself as like being able to project a spectacle that influences, that then like in turn influences the spectacle that somehow I'm hoping that I'm not reproducing or adding to, and that like in the end this will like me projecting my own narrative will like shatter the whole thing. I'm like, that's not like, that feels really dissociative or something. I'm not into it. I'm into trying to live now, I guess.
What about maybe a smaller scale then? Like, instead of a general getting everybody riled up kind of cheerleading, or you know, hype raising, what about like those types of individual or small group pre-action rituals, or, you know, like making sure that each other are okay and like their heads are in the game and type of stuff like that, like hyping each other up as opposed to hyping a situation or a group or an event.
I'm very into that. I would like to shift to talking about that kind of thing in this conversation also, because I don't want to spend too much time or all of our time on talking about these kind of larger protest movement stuff.
Absolutely.
I think doing the, or whatever, I mean, what you're talking about can still be in the context of a larger movement, but I think hyping your friends up and celebrating each other's actions or successes or whatever, celebrating each other's bravery, goes a really long way, and I wish people did it more. There's this kind of saying that I like a lot, that you should give people flowers while they're still here.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a little different from maybe hyping each other up before an action or something, but I totally think that we should be each other's cheerleaders as friends and, you know, as people in relationship with each other. That, I think, is like, is just a deeper, it's like, yeah, it's just a deeper thing. It's a thing that actually, I know what it feels like to me to have somebody I care about celebrate something I've done, or like encourage me, or, you know, like tell me that they're kind of with me in spirit. And that is not just some like sports cheerleading. That's actually something I feel very deeply. And the energy I get from that type of interaction. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, the energy I get from that type of interaction is fuels me much more than, like, I don't know, reading something on It's Going Down that's just being like, look, we stopped fascism or whatever, because all these people were also wearing black, you know? That to me is much more shallow and does feel like I'm reading something about a sports team. And I don't know. This is just a different thing. But yeah, I totally think people... Yeah, I don't want to go in circles, but I totally think that people should celebrate each other and each other's actions and each other's, like, strengths and all of the things, you know?
Yeah, and that definitely, you know, it means a lot more coming from people closer. Like, that you won't get that same kind of rush of, you know, affirmation and being, like, feeling hyped from just a stranger being like, hey, good zine you did. Like, you know, there's got to be that connection already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's definitely, you know, something to a stranger saying that, but coming from people that you're actually tight with, I agree with you. That's a more meaningful type of, like, kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say purer, but, like a more direct, like, I actually care about this.
Right. And, I mean, honestly, like, having some writer for a website comment on something I was a part of just doesn't feel nearly as impactful because ultimately, like, I don't know that person. Like, you know, what you're saying, like, it just has way less impact because, like, we don't actually know each other. So they're judging all these things without context. And I'm also hearing their praise, like, without much context of who they are. You know, we could totally be in different places in terms of our values. But hearing that stuff from somebody that, like, okay, I actually have respect for this person. I know what they think. We're aligned in these certain ways. And, like, hearing praise from someone like that is, to me, a really big deal. And I get worried, I guess. Maybe I shouldn't, because I should, like, maybe I should take my own advice or whatever and worry about my own life and my own relationships. But I do get worried that there's a lot of anarchists that seem to prioritize or, like, concentrate on big picture stuff and, like, asking these questions in terms of really, really big quantities of people and the masses and all these kind of terms, and maybe kind of neglecting the these smaller things that maybe aren't as spectacular in terms of their media representation or whatever. But, like, if you allow yourself to feel these things and to have these kind of interactions, they just create a different kind of energy. And guess I believe in, I don't know, the power of energy that we create with each other. Rather than just the manipulation of, like, media or whatever. But, like, I've seen people do really incredible things that that kind of harness the energy of their friends, you know?
Yeah, maybe I'm just spoiled and I just have really good friends and I have a different view of, like... the anarchist culture, if that's a thing. But I feel like I'm surrounded by people who do kind of, like, prop me up when I've done something, and I feel like I return that to them. Like, I mean, kind of jokingly earlier, like, hey man, nice zine, like, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. You made that, like, even something that small, or not small to the author, but, like, you know, like, I read your thing. It is very meaningful. I guess I kind of have a little bit of trouble picturing, just because of how common that is in my life, of people kind of gassing each other up and being like, that's great, dude. I can't wait to see more of that. Or, like, I, you know, next time you put something out, or next time you do this type of thing, like, let me know. And like people wanting to be involved. I have trouble picturing people not being like that, but I'm sure that, you know, if the question asker is asking about whether or not we're allergic to this, I'm sure that those situations exist where I guess people would be like kind of poo-pooing the entire project.
Yeah, it's great that you have that in your life. I don't think everybody does. I think there are a lot of people that have a very developed critical lens, which is sometimes hard to turn off even towards people that they care about, you know?
Yeah. I kind of catch myself doing that from time to time. It's kind of, it feel like a buzzkill more often than I'd like to admit.
Yeah, and that's okay too, I think. I mean, I'm not proposing that we aren't critical of each other. I think there's a way to do both. And people feel differently on different days. I know that I do, you know. Today I'm trying to be more positive or whatever, and that's just based on my past few days. Maybe on a different day I would be talking differently about things, and that's also okay, you know. And that's maybe kind of part of the trouble of trying to have a more prescriptive conversation or ask these questions in this kind of general way about, like, is it good or is it bad? Is just, some days people are going to want to go out there with pom-poms or whatever and dance around, and, like, some days that's going to feel good to a bunch of people, and then other days it's going to be something else. And those things are going to have different impact depending on when they happen and, like, what else is going on. So, I don't know, that's like really a wishy-washy position probably, but I think to me it feels the closest to my reality and the closest to my experience of people trying different things, I guess, and having different kinds of attitudes about stuff. But I also said earlier, like, the clown thing for me that you described, like, instantly, I had a reaction to it that's just a negative thing because it is like, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to keep talking about that. There's many things I feel critical about doing that. I think also getting between the police and people and kind of, it, to me, automatically just screams that it's this like liberal, anti-violent thing or something.
It definitely had defanging the message or defanging right. The action in its design.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not, I'm also clear, like, I'm down to talk shit, I guess, is what I'm saying also. yeah.
What about, one of the questions in the text is it about not looking uncool? Do you feel like coolness factors in for you? Because I genuinely don't think it factors in for me.
Ooh. Hmm. I hope not. I hope on most days it doesn't. I don't think it is right now in this conversation. But I do think that there's a thing that happens where, especially in anarchist stuff and kind of more rebellious, like, countercultures, I think there is a tendency to not want to give people praise because it is, like, maybe seen as a posture of subservience in some way. That, like, yeah, like, well, I'll talk about, I've brought it up before, but, like, for me, I spent a long time in the graffiti counterculture, and there's this thing that, like, new people that get into it for a few years will kind of just talk about themselves like they're the best ever, and everyone else is, you know, like, no one else is quite as good, and be overly critical, and then that's kind of a beginner attitude, and it communicates this like insecurity, you know, at least to me. And after people do it for a long time, you see that their posture towards the people around them changes, and they become more humble, and they're able to praise other people. And I think this, yeah, I don't know. I think there's like the thing of wanting to be cool or not give compliments or not give praise, I think comes from insecurity, at least in my experience. And I'm also guilty of this. I hope less so now. But like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, part of anarchy, I think, is there, you don't have to be the coolest person or be doing the coolest shit or whatever. There can be, you know, everyone can be doing things that have value in them, and giving someone else praise is not taking away from the value of what you're doing, you know? But I do think that the broader society we're a part of is structured in that way, where there's like kind of a scarcity of value, I guess, of acts. And so, potentially then like saying that someone else is good at the same thing maybe you're trying to do is taking away from the value of your thing. But you know, I that's not really an anarchist like thing to me. Or like, it's not an anarchist way of being in the world, I guess.
Yeah, that's more of a capital competitive nature. Kind of back to that whole like sports thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the best. And so if I say someone else is really good, then like, maybe I'm not the best. But that's, I mean, that's, this just feels, in graffiti world, that's called toy. Which just means like, okay, you're kind of like, you're a beginner, like you're, I guess, not serious. You're just kind of playing. You don't understand the like, yeah, you're just, yeah, just less experienced or something. And I listen to people that are like, I guess, graffiti elders. There are those now. And those people are so fucking humble, you know? And they recognize people's contributions in, like, a real way. And that, I think that came from doing it for so long and, like, kind of letting go a bit of your own ego or something. And just feeling like you're a part of a world and you're contributing to it. And you're kind of all connected or whatever. You're, I don't know. This balance of,
I would imagine that for something subculturally tied like that, like graffiti or like music scene, punk and hip hop, like it's also kind of about making sure that the next wave feels that encouragement. Because if they don't, then there's nobody to really carry that on. Or if there is, then they're all going to be kind of assholes.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and so then the question is like, do I want to feel cool surrounded by a bunch of assholes while I'm also being an asshole, or do I want to be doing something else, you know? Be creating a different kind of world for myself.
Now that's the question for the anarchists, is do you want to feel cool while you're surrounded by a bunch of assholes? That's something we should all consider.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's definitely been, you know, talks about that on A News before, about aging and about like how attitudes shift and what the next generation is going to look like. But that's a really interesting aspect of hype and fanatical excitement and all that, is maybe maybe that's a young person's game of being blindly hyped for the hype's sake. And yeah, maybe I don't know how old a lot of the people involved in this project of A News or you are, but I would imagine older than a lot of the people going out there in Black Bloc and you know, getting online and doing hype campaigns are. Maybe it's more their role to do that and our role to sit here and be like, good job, sport. Here's how you keep that momentum alive, and here's how you deal with this situation. Mm. Kind of a more muted cheerleading.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I also think you could be doing both. But I always lean in that direction.
Nope,
of like,
you gotta
not
pick one. It's in the rules.
I guess just I have a knee jerk reaction to becoming like taking some role, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my relationship to people younger than me is I'm hyped. Like, I hype the kids around me. I am hyped by the excitement and the energy that they bring into my life and into just the social environment I'm a part of. And, you know, if they want to listen to some shit I have to say, then cool. But if not, then whatever, go do your shit. It's awesome. I mean, I did my stuff when I was young too, and it was fun. And I definitely didn't give a fuck about what some older person really had to say, which is like, maybe, you know, whatever. Stupid people learn from their own mistakes or whatever they say, and I was definitely one of those. But yeah. Whatever, I'm hyped. The kids are sick.
That's kind of the attitude that I feel like some of the people who brought me into like anarchy when I was a teenager had, because they were older people, you know, in their 30s at the time, ancient in my eyes. And yeah, like I might have, like, I was young and brash and full of piss and vinegar for absolutely everything, and they were really supportive, and they were very much like a older hype squad, but like also kind of course correcting a little bit, quite like, you know, here's how you really do things, but like, if that's what you're into, check these things out. And, you know, if you want to get out there and do that, just be aware of this. And yeah, that was really helpful and definitely kept it alive for me.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I had a little bit of that too. And when I could kind of slow down my own whirlwind of things and hear some of the stuff and let it set in, it was nice. Older people and the kind of more muted cheerleading thing, or maybe a little more critical thing, can make a big difference, I think, for sure. I agree with you.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on for that, for this topic?
I think I'm good. We're pretty, I think we're pretty close to time anyway, but what about you?
Yeah, no, I think this has been a more encompassing talk than I expected.
Oh yeah. Awesome.
So what is our final verdict? Anarchists are allergic to hype and super uncool, I think is what we landed on, right?
Yeah, sure, that sounds good.
All right.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm good to leave it at that.
Sweet. Well, thank you everyone for listening, and have a good week.
This week's this week's podcast was sound edited by Rosanante. The What's New was written by Chisel, read by Chisel, and
Limbida.
I knew you were going to go there. That was really obvious. Yeah. We hope this podcast is useful to and fun for anarchists and the anarcho-curious. And we hope that my cough will be all gone by next time.
Made the streets so bright and the zones of blight. No more fear in the hearts of whites. He built a hall, put on a show. From high above, watched his boulders roll. Then he bought Main Street and the old town hall. He named his price, his face on every wall. Oh, oh, his face on every wall. Now the factories have all shut down. No more cloth stitched in this town. So the only job for a boy at night, in the prison making tiles shine. Someday that matters. man will come here too, with that magic hat, spit and glue. He'll wash the stone, paint the brick, rename the streets and make the clocks all tick. On time, he'll make us run on time. And every town will celebrate someday, wave its sweatshop flags and